Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to Talking Point, the podcast by Planet F1. Specifically, welcome to the first episode of the 2021 season, because thank God we have finally made it through the off-season. Ah, oh, doesn't that feel good to say? As always, I'm your host, Finlay Kraboda, and joining me today to preview the 2021 campaign is the Planet F1 editor, Michelle Foster. Well, Michelle, first up, how was your off-season?
Good morning, Finlay. The off-season was nice and relaxing, potentially a little shorter than normal, but yeah, it was good, and now we're all raring to go, batteries recharged, and here's hoping for a good 2021 season.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I think that is one of the pros of last year's off season being what ended up being about 7 months, is that this year it kind of just flew by, you know, it wasn't as bad.
No, it wasn't. I mean, you could almost start the countdown to the new season by the time Abu Dhabi was over, you know. So, yeah, in that respect, a late season was pretty awesome. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, 2021 is very much going to be a repeat of last year. You know, cars very much the same and everything. So, yeah, so you kind of feel like this is almost 2020.B.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, a lot of the teams have called their cars kind of B and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously the cars aren't too different, but there are a lot of changes in terms of the drivers. So before we get into our season preview, we'll just kind of run through those. At the top of the grid, the big one is obviously Sergio Perez, who's replaced Alex Albon at Red Bull. And then, I mean, the midfield is where most of the changes come. We've got Sebastian Vettel at Aston Martin now, Daniel Ricciardo at McLaren, Carlos Sainz at Ferrari, Fernando Alonso has returned to the grid. And then, Haas have gone for two rookies in Mick Schumacher and Nikita Mazepin. And I mean, all these driver changes, they do make things a lot more interesting heading into the first race, don't they?
I have to say, the driver changes this year are pretty awesome because every single one of them has a good storyline in itself. I mean, Daniel Ricciardo with his 7 Grand Prix wins heading off to McLaren, him and Lando Norris, well, we know that's the bromance to end all bromances in Formula One. You know, Alpine have Fernando Alonso, double world champion back on the grid. What more could they ask for? Brilliant, brilliant person for Esteban Ocon to learn from. Carlos Sainz, can he take on Charles Leclerc? Will Ferrari allow him to take on Charles Leclerc? Same story at Red Bull. Sergio Perez, I mean, now a Grand Prix winner. And I mean, you can't say enough about Sergio Perez's 2020 season. It was just absolutely incredible what he did with that Racing Point car. And he fully deserves that Red Bull seat. Like you say, Aston Martin, Sebastian Vettel. I don't think there is a single person except Lance Stroll who is not praying for Seb to get it right this season. Then you got the rookies, you know, at AlphaTauri, you got Yuki Tsunoda taking on Pierre Gasly. I mean, Yuki had a phenomenal preseason test, so it'd be interesting to see if he can carry that through. And Haas have Mick Schumacher, a Schumacher name is back in Formula One. Nikita Mazepin, he's there. You know, I think sometimes, unfortunately, the less said about him, probably the better because of the controversy surrounding him. But on the other side of the garage, Mick Schumacher, I mean, that is just, that's heartwarming.
Yeah, it really is. And yeah, we'll get into that later in the episode. But I think already there's kind of been, I don't know, I think it's already had a big impact, you know, seeing the Schumacher name back on the timing board. But yeah, like I said, we'll get into that in a bit. So like last year's season preview, if you've been with us for that long, we're going to start off with the top of the grid, the title fight, and then work our way down into the midfield and then the back markers. So yeah, first up, Mercedes versus Red Bull, because I think it'd be a real shock if the title fight turned out to be anything else. Last year, we spoke about the title fight, and I think we already knew at that point that it was going to be pretty non-existent. This year, I don't know, it could be a bit more interesting, you know? After testing, obviously, you know, Red Bull looked stronger than Mercedes there. Do you buy it, Michelle?
I'm wanting to drink the Kool-Aid, I have to be honest. Max Verstappen was quickest in testing. The Mercedes weren't so hot. I think Lewis Hamilton's best time was a full second behind Max's. But more to the point, they had reliability issues. And that's something we haven't seen from Mercedes in I don't know how long. Well, the team's been pretty much bulletproof, you know. In testing, they have just laid down lap after lap after lap. Not always the fastest, because, I mean, we don't know the fuel loads, the setup and that sort of stuff. But they have been phenomenal in reliability. And this preseason, they weren't, you know, which was a bit of a shock. I mean, I don't think anybody, especially Mercedes, expected that. There were issues all 3 days. But more of a concern was customers also had issues. I mean, Aston Martin had issues as well on all 3 of the days. And all of those were Mercedes-related issues. So I think even if we see a quick Mercedes this season, which, I mean, we'd be shocked if we didn't, it's not going to be bulletproof. And that's going to give Red Bull the opportunity to capitalize.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at kind of Lewis Hamilton's total compared to Max Verstappen's last year, if you imagine he retired from, I don't know, 2 races with reliability problems, they could end up being races that he won. You take 50 points off his total, and then suddenly things are a lot tighter. So, yeah, I think reliability is probably the big takeaway from it, especially considering, like you said, Aston Martin had their own problems. And I think as well, even when they had the issues with Bottas on the first day of testing, and he could only get 6 laps in, but by the time Hamilton had come out, I kind of thought, okay, that was their blip. They're going to hit the track and, you know, they'll be fine now. But then he came out and he really struggled with that car. You know, he couldn't really control the rear of it. He ended up beached in the gravel, I think, on the second day, I think it might have been. So, you know, reliability doesn't look good. The car, it doesn't look stable. The drivers don't really have a grip on it. And I mean, Red Bull, on the other hand, it's the complete opposite, isn't it? You know, I think Verstappen, he's always been able to kind of, you know, get the best out of that car. But I think what is interesting is that Sergio Perez looked so much more comfortable in it by the end of testing than kind of Alex Albon or Pierre Gasly did by their, you know, equivalent time in the car. I mean, I think in terms of that, it was pretty positive signs for him, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's quite interesting, you know, like Red Bull, they had Pierre Gasly in the car. He didn't do well. They had Alex Albon in the car. They gave him as many shots as they possibly could, and he didn't do well. And I think somewhere during the course of last year, Red Bull must have come to the realization, as some pundits said, I think it was Mika Hakkinen actually who first pointed it out, that maybe Red Bull's problem isn't the second driver, it's the car. They've designed a car that is so well suited to Max Verstappen that nobody else could drive it. And this year, Helmut Marko has come out and said, yes, this car is an evolution of last year's car, but they've made sure it's more neutral. Like, I wouldn't quite say anybody could drive it, but a good driver can get the most out of this car. And that's what Sergio Perez showed in testing, you know? He was a lot, like you say, he was very comfortable with the car almost immediately. Still learning the routines of the team and the little nitty-gritties and stuff. But he had a solid preseason testing. And that's going to be another problem for Mercedes this year, is basically since Daniel Ricciardo left the team, Mercedes have only had to fight one Red Bull driver pretty much week in and week out. Now they're going to have to fight two, so they're going to have to adjust their strategy as well. So that could be another feather in Red Bull's cap this season.
Yeah, especially if you look at kind of Perez's strengths. Pretty different to Verstappen's, really. You know, Verstappen's got that pace, wheel-to-wheel racing, whereas Perez, he's kind of the master of tire management, and which Verstappen isn't bad at himself, to be fair. But yeah, I think he definitely offers them different options. And I think that's so important, you know. I mean, if you look at last race of last season was really the only time all year that Alex Albon managed to kind of stay fairly close to the front three without any issues for them. And you could see it did make Mercedes's life a lot harder. So, yeah, I think that is another reason to be optimistic. Ultimately, though, would you still say Mercedes are favourites heading into Australia?
I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton is the favourite to win the world title. I don't think anyone's going to stop him. The guy is absolutely sublime. He has everything going in his favour, pretty much. I mean, the confident wave that he is riding is ridiculous. So I'm going to put Lewis Hamilton for the world title. But I think Red Bull are going to beat Mercedes to the constructors. I think they have the better overall car and the better driver package. Unfortunately, you know, you can't really rate Valtteri Bottas after what's it been now, 4 years of getting his ass handed to him by Hamilton.
Yeah, I'm with you there pretty much. I think Hamilton is going to get the better of Verstappen because, I mean, you know, it's Lewis Hamilton and it's Max Verstappen's first ever, it would, if he gets into it, it'll be Verstappen's first ever kind of title fight in F1 that he's been involved in, which I think very few drivers end up kind of coming out on top when it's their first. But yeah, I do think that the difference is going to be that Sergio Perez is going to have a better season than Valtteri Bottas. And I think the points difference between him and Bottas will be bigger than the points difference between Hamilton and Verstappen, maybe, which, yeah, would give Red Bull the Constructors' Championship. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, the logic in me tells me, you know, we've seen this before. 2019, for example, Ferrari were strongest in testing, got our hopes up, and then Mercedes showed up to Australia and dominated. But I don't know. This time, I think it does feel different, you know. I mean, that time round, Mercedes did still put in the most laps in testing. The Ferrari just looked quicker. But yeah, I mean, this year, least laps of any team. And I don't have the stats on me, but I think it must be a long, long time since a team that's done the least laps in testing ends up winning the title. So yeah, I think there's definitely more reason than ever to think that Red Bull could actually fight Mercedes for the championship. Just one last word. Spoke about Perez. Oh, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of assuming however good he is, Max Verstappen's comfortably going to get the better of him. Do you think that'll be the case, or do you think he can kind of take the fight to Max?
Yeah, I don't think I'd use the word comfortably. I think Sergio Perez, Max is going to have the advantage in qualifying, but Sergio Perez in the Grand Prix is just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, what he can do with those cars, how he can get the tires to last, like you said, is just, well, it's incredible. So I think he's going to take the fight to Max. I think the big question is, when is Red Bull going to call it? You know, when are they going to decide that they're going to back Max for the title? Because let's be honest, I mean, Max is the future of Red Bull. Sergio is potentially there for a year, maybe two, who knows? Red Bull have said there's no number one, you know, the lead driver's the guy who's in front. But yeah, I do think, unfortunately, that's all words. And come the end of the day, Perez is going to be told to hold stations behind Max. But it's going to be a hell of a lot closer than Gasly or Albon ever got to him. So yeah, I say props to the Mexican driver already.
Yeah, I think going back to that, I read, like, you know, Mark Webber's autobiography maybe about a year ago or so. And in it, he was talking about the 2010 season in which he was leading Vettel for pretty much all of it. And at one point, with maybe, I don't know, eight races to go, I think he had a, I don't know, 25, 30-point odd lead over Vettel. And, it, you know, he said to the team, like, are you going to kind of get behind me, you know, help me win the title? And they just waited and waited until at one point, I think it was before Korea, Helmut Marko said, right, if you're still ahead of Vettel by however many points after this race, then we'll give you your full backing. And obviously, Webber then crashed out of that, which gave Red Bull an excuse not to give him the full backing. And then, yeah, the rest is history. You know, they ended up kind of giving Vettel the better strategy in Abu Dhabi, and he won the title. You know, which I think is a good representation of, you know, how they can say we're not like Ferrari, we don't have a number one and number two, but I think deep down they definitely have a preference. And there is a lot of parallels, I think, between the Vettel-Webber lineup and the Verstappen-Perez. You know, you've got one driver who's from the Red Bull Academy, who's mates with Helmut Marko, who's kind of the future of the team, and then you've got another who, well, I mean, Webber and Perez are the last two to be hired from outside the program. So I don't think it'll be a massive gap. And yeah, like you said, it would definitely be smaller than Gasly and Albon, but I think Verstappen is going to get the better of Perez, whether by merit or by team orders. Yeah, that's the title fight all covered. I think we've both come to the conclusion that it's going to be, yeah, good, you know, better than last year. Maybe we'll get a fight for the Drivers' Championship. And I think, yeah, I won't say it's safe to say, but I think there's a pretty good chance we'll get a fight for the Constructors' Championship. But I mean, regardless of how interesting the top of the field is, we're definitely going to get some good fun in the midfield again, which was, I'd say, probably the highlight of last season, that midfield battle. And this year it should be even better. You know, we've got teams being rebranded. We've got ridiculously good drivers. I think, you know, in terms of drivers, the midfield is stronger than it's ever been, really. Last year, it was kind of, well, yeah, it was McLaren, Racing Point, now Aston Martin, and Renault, now Alpine, fighting for P3 in the standings. I think the big question that we should start off with is Ferrari. They need a revival, obviously. Do you think they can? Do you think they can get back into that fight for P3?
I think they can. I think they can, and I really hope they can, because at the end of the day, as ridiculous as it is to say, Formula One needs Ferrari to do well. I mean, it's the team of Formula One, you know. I mean, in recent years, it's been Red Bull, it's been Mercedes, but Ferrari's been around the longest. They've got the red car. I mean, everything about them is just Formula One. So the sport needs Ferrari to shine. The fantastic news is this year they have a brand new power unit. As we all know, 2019, mid-season, technical directives came out regarding fuel flow. Rivals yelled cheat at Ferrari. And yeah, Ferrari lost pace in heaps. Last year, unfortunately, they did not recover. There's two theories on this. The one is that, I think it was Mika Salo came out and said that the FIA had actually penalized Ferrari by giving them less fuel for their engines because of that cheating scandal. The other theory is that Ferrari had designed a car with that extremely powerful engine in mind, take the engine out of the equation, and the car turned out to be, well, pretty much rubbish. So they had a really, really awful season, 6th in the championship, not a single win, only 3 podiums. I mean, so much has been written about it. It was Vettel's worst season in Formula One ever. He just couldn't string it together. Ferrari now, new engine, tweaks to the car, new driver in Carlos Sainz joining Charles Leclerc. Preseason testing, it went well. It wasn't awesome. They were 3rd fastest, but I think like 6/10 behind Max Verstappen or something like that. But again, you can't really tell anything from preseason. The one thing that has come out of the Ferrari camp, though, is that their straight line speed is not as bad as last year's, you know, and that was their weak point. So I think everyone, especially the drivers, is hoping for a better season from Ferrari. I would predict P3 would be on the cards for them, you know, in the championship. And yeah, I hope I'm right on that one.
Yeah, I think the big takeaway definitely is the fact that they've got a better straight line speed again. And, you know, when you hear Mattia Binotto say that, or even Leclerc or Sainz, you think, well, you know, they're going to say that. It's Ferrari. They've probably told them to. But I mean, we heard Kimi Raikkonen say it in preseason testing. And if he says it, I feel like there's a pretty good chance it's true, because I don't think he's into all the kind of PR hype, to be honest. So, yeah, I think there's definitely reason to believe that they're better in that department. And I mean, let's be honest, the only way was up after last year. Just, you know, taking a look at the driver lineup last season, that did ultimately hurt Ferrari's chances of getting involved with that fight for P3. You know, if Vettel was closer to Leclerc, they probably would have. Sainz coming in, do you think he's gonna be closer to Leclerc's level?
I think he is, mainly because I don't think anybody could actually be worse than Seb was last season. I mean, whether it was the pre-season announcement that he was on his way out or a car that was just so designed with Leclerc in mind, it was an awful season for the four-time world champion. I think Carlos Sainz is going to have a good season. I think he's got a lot to prove. I mean, as soon as he got announced as a Ferrari driver, the two questions were, what the hell are you doing? And the other one was, are you going to enjoy being second fiddle to Leclerc? So I think Sainz has a lot to prove, A, that he got the Ferrari decision right, and B, that he's not a number two driver, that he's going to be on a par with Leclerc and taking the fight to him.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope that is the case. I think he is good enough. Although I feel like this season might just kind of open F1's eyes to just how good Leclerc is. At Ferrari, he has been up against a Sebastian Vettel who hasn't been at his best for the last two seasons. You know, there's been a lot of mistakes. He hasn't really been happy with the team. I feel like if Sainz comes in and is really at his best and still can't get near Leclerc, then we're going to start, you know, looking at Leclerc as kind of a Verstappen-level talent where, you know, just different caliber to the rest of the young drivers. So that'll be interesting to see, you know. And alternatively, if Sainz can take the fight to him, then we look at Sainz and I think he'd probably go up in everyone's estimations as well. That's an inter-team battle I'm really, really excited for. But on the grid, you know, I think maybe Verstappen and Perez too, but the one that I'm more excited for even is the one at McLaren between Ricciardo and Norris. You said that you think Ferrari will get P3 in the constructors. I've gone for McLaren. I think they've got Ricciardo, they've got the Mercedes engine, and I think we need to talk about this because this is kind of strange. We spoke about Mercedes and Aston Martin both having reliability issues related to Mercedes. But then, I mean, McLaren, they looked rock solid in testing, didn't they?
That was the weirdest one ever. I mean, McLaren pretty much had to shove a Mercedes engine into a hole that was suited to a Renault engine. And yet, they did not have a single problem throughout preseason with their Mercedes setup. The one thing it must be noticed is McLaren is still running their own gearbox, and the gearbox wasn't one of the issues that Aston Martin had, I think, twice, of which Mercedes had once. So maybe the power unit is a lot more reliable than the gearbox. Who knows? Only time will tell. But yeah, props to McLaren. I mean, they did everything right. They had a new driver. They had a new engine. A car that had to be tweaked to suit that engine. And they had a really solid preseason. I think they were in the... No. They were actually in the bottom five for... the bottom three for lap counts in the test. It was McLaren, Aston Martin and Mercedes who covered the least. But yet you didn't actually hear any whinging from McLaren about it. I mean, they just went on about their job. They seem to be pretty confident about how the season will pan out for them. So, yeah, here's hoping that they're in the fight.
Yeah, I think with McLaren, it was kind of a case of they did do the third least laps, but I think that was by choice. I think they kind of thought, well, we'll do all the laps we need to do and nothing more. Because, yeah, like you said, there wasn't any kind of worries for them. There wasn't any complaints. And when they weren't on track, I think it was by choice. It wasn't issues unlike Mercedes and Aston Martin. And in terms of pace, they looked pretty good. I think Ricciardo in the first 2 days went fastest in both of his sessions. I don't think that reflects too well on the final timesheets because he did it in the morning sessions where the track was obviously less optimal. But I think like Perez, he looks pretty settled in. And yeah, I'm excited to see him at McLaren in that car. I think I do like Norris, but I think Ricciardo is going to kind of, you know, come in and show Norris just how good he is. But alternatively, you know, Norris looked good last year. Hopefully he can take the fight to him. And then the other two teams that, well, I mean, we have to include AlphaTauri now, I guess. They look pretty good. God, there's going to be so many. But the two new teams, quote unquote, that are on the grid this year, Alpine and Aston Martin. I think, well, they've got Fernando Alonso and Sebastian Vettel on board, and we're going to see those two go head to head again, it'll be just like the early 2010s. How excited are you to see those two back in evenly matched cars?
I think it's going to be an absolutely incredible fight. And like you say, two massive names, six world championships between the two of them. It's going to be pretty awesome. I mean, my prediction for the season is Ferrari in third, and then pretty much McLaren, Aston Martin, AlphaTauri, Alpine, and maybe Alfa Romeo fighting for fourth. And when you consider the names there, Daniel Ricciardo, Sebastian Vettel, Pierre Gasly, now a Grand Prix winner, Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen, I mean, what a bumper pack that is there fighting for fourth place in the overall standings. But like you say, Seb and Alonso, I mean, Formula One couldn't ask for a better lineup this season. I mean, the names that are in the sport and the fact that they all have the potential. I mean, I reckon maybe not Alfa Romeo, but Alpine, AlphaTauri, Aston Martin, McLaren, I reckon we're going to see them all on the podium this season.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think especially Alonso, I think for me, he really stood out in testing. Not for his car. I think the Alpine was solid. There weren't any issues, but it didn't look particularly fast. It looked bloody good, though, on another note. But I think, you know, Alonso, he just looked like he'd never left. You know, he looked comfortable. He looked quick. And, yeah, I guess, you know, that young driver test must really be paying off that you took part in. Vettel, on the other hand, I don't think looked particularly happy. You know, not jumping to any conclusions, I think that was mainly just because Aston Martin happened to have a few issues. But I don't know, in terms of the pecking order, Ferrari, Aston Martin, Alpine, McLaren, it's hard to tell, isn't it? It's hard to predict.
It is very hard to predict. I mean, they all have something going for them and they all potentially have something going against them. I mean, Alonso apparently came out after testing and said that he feels the car's a bit slow. But even though the car's a bit slow, it's got Fernando Alonso in it. And, I mean, he could drive just about anything. So that would hopefully negate that one. AlphaTauri, you've got Pierre Gasly versus Yuki Tsunoda. Yuki was second fastest in testing. I mean, absolutely incredible. Aston Martin, you've got Vettel against Lance Stroll. A lot of pundits are saying this is Vettel fighting for his career now. If he gets beaten by Lance Stroll, he might as well kiss Formula One goodbye. And then in McLaren, like you said, Daniel Ricciardo versus Lando Norris. I mean, when they're not teasing each other off the track, I reckon the wheels are going to fall off on that one quite quickly and become quite a vicious fight. But having said that, as soon as they get off the track, they'll be heading out together for a beer. Can Norris even drink yet? Is he of age yet?
Yeah, he doesn't look it, to be fair.
No, definitely not.
I think that's going to be great fun on and off track. You mentioned AlphaTauri, and you know, I mean, that's something last year that I think we kind of mentioned because we felt like we had to mention every team, but there really wasn't much to talk about there. But that's completely different this year because now we've got Pierre Gasly, who a year on is a race winner and generally, I think, a much better driver. And alongside him, we've got Yuki Tsunoda, who, I mean, there's a lot expected of him. And he already made a pretty, pretty big impression in testing.
He did. I mean, it was quite cute. The story came out afterwards about he has to have a special pedal kit because the poor lad's so short that he needs a bit of help reaching the pedals and stuff. But, I mean, clearly that pedal kit worked for him because he was absolutely phenomenal. There was a bit of speculation about his DRS. For some reason, his AlphaTauri was allowing him to access the DRS about 100 meters earlier than anybody else, which I think even Lando Norris quipped on social media. But, I mean, no matter how it was still a fantastic lap, even if the DRS was, like I said, a little early. So you've got Pierre Gasly, who's the driver who feels very snubbed by the fact that he wasn't given that Red Bull seat, especially after his Italian Grand Prix win. And then you've got Yuki Tsunoda, who theoretically in 2023 is going to be the next Red Bull driver. There's a hell of a lot at stake between those two. So it's going to be an awesome battle. AlphaTauri, they've got that Honda engine in the back. Honda have thrown everything, the kitchen sink, the frigging tea towels, everything that they could possibly throw at that engine, being that it's their last season in Formula One. So, yeah, I think between Red Bull and AlphaTauri, they have, I don't know, maybe even the best engine on the grid. We don't actually know, and we won't know until the season begins. But Honda seem to think that they're up there. They're knocking on Mercedes's door. So that should be an interesting battle in itself.
I think at AlphaTauri, we're going to get some real fireworks between Gasly and Tsunoda. I think we've got Gasly, who's... Yeah, I think he's probably going to be thinking ahead to 2022, to his future. It doesn't look like Red Bull are particularly interested in ever welcoming him back. So he's going to have to start thinking about, you know, other options. Obviously, the links with Alpine just won't really go away, which is an option. So I think he's going to be kind of driving for himself this season. And I think on the other hand, you're going to have Yuki Tsunoda, who I think Helmut Marko is going to be pretty keen, you know, to impress. I think Marko would probably love it if Tsunoda beats Gasly. So I think, I think we could get a real interesting inter-team battle there, which would be great fun. And obviously you mentioned, you know, the Honda engine, which is looking really good. And also Red Bull and AlphaTauri are both running a design there that seems to be working a lot better with the regulation changes in the aerodynamics department. Martin Brundle was trackside for the whole of testing, and he said that Red Bull and AlphaTauri were two of the cars that looked the kind of, you know, the most stable, the most comfortable. So, yeah, I think we could be going, assuming Ferrari improve as much as we expect as well, we could be going from a three-way fight for P3 in the Constructors' Championship this season to a five-way fight, which, that would be awesome. So, obviously, you've given your prediction for which team you think is going to win that. You said Ferrari. So, which driver? Who do you think is going to get P5 in the standings?
Oh, well, that one's a little bit more difficult. I'm going to give that to Leclerc. I'm going to have to give that to Leclerc. That's, of course, I mean, if Ferrari don't absolutely pull it out the bag and he somehow beats Sergio Perez. Yeah, I don't really see that happening. I think it's going to be, two Mercedes, two Red Bulls, with Max Verstappen ahead of Valtteri Bottas, perhaps Sergio Perez ahead of Bottas as well. And Charles Leclerc in P5.
All right. Ferrari P3, Leclerc P5. I've gone McLaren P3, Ricciardo P5. So there is some logic in our arguments there with our drivers. Either way, it's gonna be awesome, I think, with the teams we've got, with the drivers we've got. I think I think it'll be probably maybe the highlight of the season again, unless Verstappen can take the fight to Hamilton. I mean, if we get races as crazy as last year, we could end up having a load of different teams on the podium again. But teams, even with the craziest of races, that probably won't be ending up on the podium. We're going to be moving on to them now. But I mean, you know, you can kind of say, call it the backmarker section, but there is a bit of a question mark in terms of Alfa Romeo, just looking at them, in terms of whether they are a backmarker anymore. Because they looked pretty decent in pre-season testing, especially Kimi, you know, the 41-year-old. Yeah, looked as quick as ever. So, yeah, I mean, heading into it, what do you reckon? Do you think they can kind of get involved with the teams ahead this year, or are they going to be in a league of their own as such?
I think when the end of year's numbers are all added up together, Alfa Romeo is going to be at the back of the midfield, but they're still going to be in the midfield, and there's going to be a massive gap between them and Williams and Haas.
Yeah, if you look at last year, they did have a pretty decent gap over Haas and Williams, and a massive gap ahead of them to AlphaTauri. So, you know, going by that logic, this year, if they have improved, it's probably going to still be a bit behind the rest of the midfield. But yeah, I think it's pretty safe to say that they have made steps forward over the winter, and they are going to be ahead of Williams and Haas. If you think Alfa Romeo, they'll probably be P8, I think, comfortably. Maybe have some pretty lonely races, to be honest. Then we've got the fight for the wooden spoon, Williams versus Haas. So, obviously, last year, Williams were the ones to get the wooden spoon. Although I don't think they had the slowest car. I think we kind of just saw Grosjean and Magnussen put in two pretty darn good drives to kind of give their team some points. But this year, I'd say it's changed round a bit, whether because of the cars of the lineups, with Haas going from Grosjean and Magnussen to two rookies. I'd say Williams, in that battle, Williams are probably the favourites to come out on top now, aren't they?
I'd be absolutely shocked, first and foremost, if Williams don't score a point this season. Last year, they showed some really good improvements in qualifying, especially with George Russell. I think he was 9 times into Q2, and that's not including his Mercedes outing. So I think this year they're going to get it right. They're going to score. Unfortunately, I can't say the same for Haas. Haas are racing last year's car. I mean, aside from doing the tweaks that needed to be done to change the floor and diffuser for the new rules, they're pretty much racing last year's car, added to which they have an all-rookie lineup. An all-rookie lineup that I would bet the Haas is going to collide at least twice this season into one another. I'm not necessarily saying they're going to cost the team points while they're doing it, but I can see that one becoming quite a niggle. So, yeah, I don't think Haas are actually going to score this season. But like they said, they're putting all the resources into next year. Even their rookie lineup is done with next year in mind. So it might be a decision that pays off for them. But I think this year is going to be a really difficult, gut-wrenching one for them. Expect a few cuss words to be flying from Steiner before the end of it.
Yeah, well, that'll be fun at least. Yeah, I think, you know, going back to whether Schumacher and Mazepin are going to come together a lot. I mean, yeah. I think it's safe to say they will. I think you've got Mazepin, who's already got a bit of a reputation for being pretty aggressive on track, you know, pushing the limits, bending the rules a bit, often not getting away with it. He was, I think, a point away from a race ban in Formula 2 last season.
11 out of 12 that he needed.
Yeah, it's an admirable effort. And then you've got Schumacher, who didn't show any of that kind of driving in Formula 2. But I mean, if he's anything like his dad, then he's definitely going to be up for getting his elbows out. So, yeah, I think we'll see those two come together for sure. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure how costly that's going to be. I don't, you know, I think they'll probably be fighting for P19 anyway. Schumacher, the Schumacher name back in Formula 1. I think we do need to talk about that because, I don't know, for me at least, it's kind of had a bigger impact than I expected. You know, it seems like for so long that we've known Mick Schumacher is going to be in F1 that it kind of just became the norm. But, you know, first day of testing, seeing the initials back on the timing board, it was really something. I think
for a lot of people it was actually emotional. I mean, for many people my age, we grew up watching Michael Schumacher. He was the hero. He was the one that we all drove our cars thinking we were the next Michael Schumacher. I mean, he was just absolutely phenomenal to watch. And I mean, up until last year, the only 7-time world champion that the sport had ever seen, the driver with the most Grand Prix wins. I mean, he was everything to Formula One during his time. And the awesome thing about him was he was also controversial. You know, you either loved him or you hated him. It's a feeling that a lot of people have with Lewis Hamilton, you know, the guy he's now matched that 7 and surpassed that win tally. And now here comes Mick. He's 21 years old, which you could argue in today's world is a little bit older than most Formula One rookies. But he's a kid who understands what he's carrying. He understands what that Schumacher name means to Formula One. The fact that he is also linked to Ferrari just adds that little bit of fairy dust to the whole story. He's chosen the MSC abbreviation for his timing screen. In the past, he's run something different, but he understands what that means. My only fear with Mick is that the world is too harsh on him. In all of his junior series, the first year hasn't been awesome. The second year has been. He won the European Formula 3 title second year. He won the Formula 2 championship second year. People need to give him a break. People need to understand as well that this is just a kid. Yes, he's Michael Schumacher's kid, but he is still a kid. He's a rookie. He needs to learn. He needs to make mistakes. So let's give him a bit of leeway. But you can guarantee it's going to be headlines. I mean, no matter how it plays out. The awesome thing with Mick is he does have a fantastic team around him who will hopefully shield him when and if the negative comments come, because you know they're going to, unfortunately, and it's the world of the keyboard warriors. But, I mean, just how awesome is it having the Schumacher name back in Formula One? It's something very emotional.
Yeah, it is. And, yeah, I think it is worth reminding the world of F1, because, like, you know, the pressure on Mick is huge. The expectations around him are probably the biggest they've ever been for a rookie, to be honest. I think, you know, maybe Lewis Hamilton, when he came in at a top team, there's a bit more pressure there than coming in the back of the grid. But even so, I think there's a lot of buzz around Mick. And yeah, it is worth remembering that, you know, he does have the Schumacher name, but that doesn't automatically give him 5 temps, you know, every lap. He is, like you said, he is still a rookie. But yeah, I think if he does get his first points this season, then that's going to be a big story. I think it'll be a big deal. In terms of the drivers that he'll be up against, probably Russell, Latifi and Mazepin, I think we're kind of expecting Russell to be quite a way ahead of the other three, aren't we?
I'd be shocked if Russell doesn't win that battle. Nicholas Latifi, he's good. He's yet to show us that he's great. Whereas George Russell, I mean, last year in the Mercedes, yes, it was a car that won, I think, 14 out of 17 races. A lie, it won 13 out of 17 races. Sorry, forgive me for that one. But it was a phenomenal car. He almost won on his debut with it. He showed what he can do in a really good car. I'm really hoping that he scores for Williams this season. I'd be gutted for him if he walked away from Williams after 3 years without actually scoring for the team, as I'm sure Williams would be as well. So, yeah, Georgie's going to win that battle. Who knows? Might even mix it up with Antonio Giovinazzi in the standings. Time will tell.
I do hope he scores a point because, I mean, surely this is going to be his last season with Williams, and it wouldn't really feel right if he left without a... without getting a point. I think he'll have a good season. I think he can kind of battle Giovinazzi, maybe Kimi, depending on what Kimi we see this year. Yeah, only time will tell. But yeah, so that's the whole grid we've gone through. Even talking about it, there's a lot more to be excited about than there was heading into last season. New drivers, new teams, a lot of new storylines, maybe a title fight. It's going to be good. Just to end things, I think our bold predictions can soon be seen on the Planet F1 website. I think they might already be up there by the time that this is published. But so you can find our bold predictions there, but we'll share them on here as well. And last year, Michelle, unfortunately, both of us, our bold prediction was that Sebastian Vettel would beat Charles Leclerc, which... didn't work out too well. So yeah, the only way's up. What have you got?
Sebastian Vettel's not going to beat Charles Leclerc this season. I'm gonna put that down as my first prediction, and I'm pretty sure I'll get that right. Like I say, Lewis Hamilton for the championship. Red Bull will beat Mercedes in the constructors. Ferrari for third. And Haas for last, you know. Anything about that is it's in the lap of the gods, as they say.
Yeah, I'm not too different to you there. I think rather than Ferrari P3, I think we're gonna have McLaren P3. That's my corner. I think the McLaren are gonna have a few races where maybe they can get involved with the two teams ahead. I don't know. It depends how big the gap is, I guess, but. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. And I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say, I don't know how he's going to do it, if it's going to be complete chaos or what. I don't know where it'll be. But I think Daniel Ricciardo is going to win a race in 2021.
That's a big one. I might have to take a bet with you on that one.
I don't know about that. I don't know how confident I am. But yeah, maybe it's just optimism in me. But I don't know. Come on, Gasly won one last season, so who knows?
Gasly did one last season. It was a year of chaos. I'm expecting a little less chaos this year. But I tell you what, if you're going to go with Daniel Ricciardo for a win, I'm going to go with Sebastian Vettel for a win, just because bloody hell I need him to get better.
That would be a universally popular win, I think. It's funny, there was a time when he really wasn't particularly popular, but a few bad years and... him getting a bit older is made him one of the few drivers on the grid that I think we'd all be happy to see win. Well, thanks for joining me for the season preview, and we'll be back talking again after the first race in Bahrain.
Most definitely. Here's hoping we have a lot of excitement and no big crashes to speak of.
Yeah, fingers crossed, fingers crossed. So yeah, as I said, we'll be back in a week's time, by the time this is published, to cover the Bahrain Grand Prix. Who knows what we'll be talking about? We could be down in the dumps talking about Mercedes being back to their best, dominating again, or we could be all excited about Red Bull finally taking the fight to them. Thanks to everyone for listening. And in the meantime, you can find us on Facebook at Planet F1. Our Twitter is Planet_F1. And our website is planetf1.com, where we've got a lot of season preview stuff going up ahead of the start. So, be sure to check all that out. So, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
MG is back, and it's electric. From just €28,995. The truly affordable, family-friendly electric range just got even more affordable. With €750 off an MG ZS EV when you book a test drive on mg.ie between now and June 19th. MG, recharge your soul. Excludes delivery and related charges. Terms and conditions apply. Visit mg.ie for details.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.